Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship. Everyone is welcome, and we're pleased to see all of you. If you have seen the notices or not yet picked up a copy, when you do, you'll see there's lots of appeals for help for different things. We are coming back to life, and please look at those appeals and see, well, yeah, I can do that. Pray about it, think about it, and see where you can fit in. Everyone is welcome in all those tasks, and we're always grateful for extra support. A word about the film on Tuesday, which is a child-friendly film, and there will be children, and they will get up and go. But I have to say, the last twice I've been to the cinema, the adults have been getting up, going to the loo, getting themselves a cup of coffee, getting themselves a glass of wine. So I don't think we behave any better than small people. We're going to take a loo break in the middle, but everyone is welcome to come to this film. And everyone is welcome to come either after, stay after the film or come for a pancake afterwards. We'll try and produce them quickly, won't we, Julie? But, you know, be patient. But hopefully it will be a lovely afternoon for our families and for all of us if we want to come. And finally, from me, we've just had the new plan. And we've got an own arrangement service on March the 19th, which is Mother's Day. And I'm on duty. So I thought, I am not going to be dismayed, not I. And I'm going to be bold and I'm going to take it on. But what I thought we might do is talk about families, because most of us have got families in a shape that may not be what we want. We might have families over on the other side of the world or families we don't see very often. Families come in all sorts of shapes, and this family too. So if anybody's got a reading they like or a song they like, Christina has already recited a lovely poem to me about brothers this morning. Give me your ideas, please, and we'll see what we can come up with. The children will be here because it's their muddy church. So we'll make it a good family day, please, that day. And we welcome Helen this morning from Just Ice and Mandy, who's leading our worship. So...
I apologise that the notices weren't up. They will be up at the end. So please read them carefully, because there is a service on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. It's our normal midweek service, followed by lunch. A week on Friday is World Day of Prayer. I mustn't say Women's World Day of Prayer, because it's not anymore. But it's written by the women of Taiwan this year. How much do you know about Taiwan? Yeah, it's been threatened by China. Apart from that? Right, so they make mobile phones. Electronics. My reply was, not a lot. So come and find out what Christian life is like in Taiwan. I've been given another present. You can probably guess what it is. Knickers. Quite right, knickers. It's the last day, please. I'm going to get them down to Dalston Lane early in the week, hopefully. I must have over 300 pairs. So thank you so much. People who gave me money, I've been out and bought some. 300, it must be over 300, because I've been given a fair few this morning. So, thank you. I think we will give a bit of dignity to those asylum seekers staying at the Britannia, who must be quite frightened at the moment, mustn't they, after what happened in Liverpool. So, on that happy note, that we've done something good, right? Spring is coming. The daffodils are appearing in my garden. The world is a beautiful place if you've got eyes to see. So let's begin with, well, my favourite. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Come on, let's really praise him. Thank you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship his holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. And on that day where my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name.
Some prayers of thanksgiving from Iona. There is a response on each slide. It's all in capital letters and in bold. So will you join me in praising our Lord and Saviour? Lord God, early in the morning when the world was young, you made life in all its beauty and wonder. You gave birth to all that we know. Holy is your name, our great Creator. Early in the morning, when the world least expected it, a newborn child crying in a manger announced that you had come among us, that you were one of us. Holy is your name, Emmanuel, God with us. Early in the morning, surrounded by respectable liars, religious leaders, anxious statesmen, and silent friends, you accepted the penalty for doing good, for being God. You shouldered and suffered the cross. Holy is your name,
Savior,
Redeemer. Early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen, that you had come back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied, and destroyed you. Holy is your name, risen, ascended, King of Kings. Early in the morning, in the company of your church on earth and in heaven, we celebrate your creation, your life, your death and resurrection, your interest in us. So to you we pray. Lord, bring new life and enthusiasm where we are worn and tired. New love where we have turned hard-hearted. Forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have wounded. And the joy and freedom of your Holy Spirit where we are the prisoners of ourselves. To all and to each, where regret is real, God pronounces pardon and grants us the right to begin again. Thanks be to God. Amen. So let us build a house here where love can dwell.
Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Hear the love of Christ. Let us build a house where hands will will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the word. Built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
So very much carrying on the theme, or part of the theme of last week, we hear our two readings, one from Micah and one from Luke chapter 4.
The reading is from Micah chapter 6, starting at the beginning. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up. Plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.
And the second lesson is from Luke chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen.
We talked a lot about fair trade last week. One of the things I noticed when I walked down Park Lane, I'm not sure how long Justice has been there, 18 months, something like that. The first thing that struck me was they advertised that they used fair trade goods. No hiding it, it's there in black and white. So I went in, was made really welcome, enjoyed their coffee, and I've been quite a regular ever since. So it's my great pleasure to introduce to you Helen Howe, who used to work for Christian Aid. So I'm sure she's a really good speaker. She'll have had a lot of practice. So Helen, over to you. There we are.
Thank you and good morning. It's just a pleasure to be here. And I've been working with Justice now since October, so joined them fairly recently on the team there. My role's very much going out and about and speaking, and I do some assemblies in some of our local schools, but I also manage our events there. So I have the delights this afternoon of going and running a children's birthday party. So a little bit of everything. I thought I would start today. I'm sure most of you are aware that Justice exists to support survivors of modern slavery. So I thought I'd start this morning with a quiz. So if you thought you were going to get to sit back and relax and nod off for a while, then you've got to do some work. There are prizes, just to incentivise you. There are chocolate prizes. To see what we actually know about modern slavery, what is it that we know? The definition of modern slavery is where one person controls and exploits another person for profit. So that could be physical, financial, or psychological. But what do we know about slavery today? So it's a true or false quiz. So hands up or... There we go. Right. So first question. You're looking lively now, aren't you? There are more people in slavery today than there were at the height of the transatlantic slave trade. That's between 1525 and 1866. So hands up who thinks that's true. Yeah, and hands up for false. Yeah, you're right. So it is true. So there are more people. Oh, hang on. Going ahead of myself. There are more people in slavery today than there have ever been. Than there have ever been. It may be illegal in every country now, but there are more people in slavery than ever. Second question. You're all looking quite good at the minute. I'm thinking my thing of chocolate coins is not going to go very far. Right. I'm going to have to come back. Second question. There are 12.5 million people in slavery worldwide today. Who thinks that is true? I think there's some ringers in here. I'm not taking any answers from Julie at all. If she doesn't get them all right. So we've got a few people think that's true. Who thinks that's false? Some people are sitting on the fence on that one. So it is false. There were 12.5 million people in slavery at the height of the transatlantic slave trade. There are estimated as 40 to 45 million people in slavery today. So we're looking at kind of four times the amount. People who are in slavery in this country, they estimate around 136,000. So if you think of filling, to stand on the fence here, Man United and Man City stadiums, that's how many people are in slavery today here in the UK. So third question, I'm losing track now. During 2020, not because it was COVID, just because that's the last year we've got statistics for, most modern slavery victims identified in the UK had come from China. So most people who were in slavery in this country had come from China. Who thinks that one's true? got no two. Oh, one, two, one, two. It's false then? It is false. Where do we think most of them have come from? So most people who are in slavery in the UK, the biggest single country they come from is here. So 34% of the people in slavery in the UK are UK nationals. And they are people at the margins of society. So if you think about our care leavers, if we think about people who perhaps have limited connections in the community, people who live on their own, people who are isolated in some way. They might be isolated because English is not their first language, but you're thinking about people who are isolated. There is no bigger country that they come from than here. Final question. Who's got them all right so far? Oh, that's looking better for the chocolates, actually. See this relief. Last question. In 2020, 47% of victims identified in the UK were under the age of 18. They were children. So who thinks that might be true? Yeah, it is true. It's shockingly true that almost half of the victims of slavery are under the age of 18. One of the survivors that we support at Just ICE was trafficked here under the age of 18. He was trafficked from outside the UK. His family were trafficked with him, and the traffickers killed his whole family. That is what we're dealing with. And they expect that since 2020, they reckon there's been a 9 to 10% increase in the under 18s who are being trafficked. And that's partly because of the rise of things like county lines, about the drugs. So if you think about how people are moved, it's just not about people being in slavery, being shipped into the UK. It's being people used to take things from one county to another, one town to another. Part of our mission at Just ICE is very much to raise awareness on modern slavery, which is why I've kind of started with that piece. Also just want to flag, there is a helpline. Our job at Just ICE and our job as churches and Christians is not to be going around trying to stop traffickers. The police are doing an incredible job. What we need to do, though, is flag when we think we might have seen a case. So some of the things you might want to look out for is perhaps somebody in your community who's always escorted, they're a bit downtrodden, they don't always have their ID. They might make excuses for injuries, they might be anxious, don't want to interact, same clothes each day. I mean, I very recently had a conversation with somebody at St. Michael's in Macclesfield, and there were some homeless people living at the back of their church who were being picked up on a daily basis. So we do need to keep an eye open. It is happening here. So that's kind of my starting point, I suppose, today. And then as we reflect on the readings, I think looking for wisdom, what is it those readings can say to us that can speak into this reality? So in our second reading today, we were back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We're back at the synagogue, and I think it's a passage that is worth coming back to. Jesus had returned to where he'd kind of attended as a child. The local boy made good had come back to the synagogue. And he stood up and he read from the prophet Isaiah. Now, we don't know whether he read from Isaiah because it was the reading of the day or he chose Isaiah. But this moment was full of grace. It was full of promise. He brings the good news to his own people. So he reads. Keep forgetting it's up there. He reads this beautiful piece from Isaiah. And then he sits down, as was the tradition, to start his teaching. And his sermon was just, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. My sermons aren't quite that short, so I'll apologise. But you think about that statement, and the impact it had was so much that he nearly got thrown off a cliff. Hopefully that isn't an outcome I'll suffer today. But it's such a pivotal moment. It's such a pivotal moment. He stands there, and these words become his mission statement, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free. Everything that follows from this amounts to the living out of the prophecy he claims on that day. Everything. And it's whether he's bringing good news to the poor, whether it's their souls or their bodies that are starved, seeking to set free those either chained in captivity, whether they're physically chained or whether they are prisoners in their own minds, opening eyes to the blind, whether that's physically healing or helping those scales of prejudice fall from their eyes, and helping the oppressed and the exploited find a new life. The mission statement is all about freedom and transformation. Not just freedom of hearts and minds and a new insight into the way that God works in our lives, but that social, political, and religious freedom. A transformation so deep that he would be killed for it. It's Jesus' mission statement, and it should be ours too. And Micah puts it even more simply. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And that sense that Micah brings, that this is only possible, this huge transformation is only possible if we walk with God on that journey. So our mission statement as disciples should mirror that. Should mirror that mission statement of Jesus. And at Just Ice, we also have a mission statement. This is our mission statement at Just Ice: to provide employment, education, and training for survivors of modern slavery, to be a Christian presence in our community, which helps kind of welcome those within the community, a friendly face and a listening ear. We're a cafe run on Christian principles, and we're committed to changing the outlooks of survivors. If you haven't been in the cafe, some people here spend quite a bit of time in their cafe. This is what it looks like, just opposite Greg's, so not very far away. But we're committed to freedom, both emotional and spiritual freedom for our survivors, and transformation. And I just want to focus for a moment about their outlook. Survivors of slavery may be physically freed, but they have so much to deal with. And I'm hoping there might be a volunteer. Is there a small volunteer who wants to help me? Or a big volunteer? I brought these. I always take these to my school assemblies when I talk about survivors. Do I have somebody who might like to hold some balloons for me? Maybe with a parent too, because there's quite a lot of balloons. You're going to come and help me? Brilliant. You're going to come and help. So our survivors have an awful lot to deal with. And each of these balloons represents something that they are struggling with. Are you going to hold some for me? So this one is quite a lot of them. You hold that balloon. Quite a lot of them, their English isn't very good. So particularly survivors who are referred to us, English might not be their first language, so they're struggling with that. Quite a few of them are refugees. So they're struggling to get their asylum status. They can all sometimes be very fearful about going back to the country they came from, that if they were trafficked out of there, you drop your conker. Should I pop it up there? So that can be really hard for them too. This is one. Oh, look, I've got another one. Another helper. They really struggle to make choices. And this is something that's become really apparent to us, is that when you've been in slavery for a length of time, some of our survivors have been in slavery for up to 5 years, coming out of that, trying to make any decision is really difficult because somebody's made all the decisions for you. And it can be really limiting to them as they move forward.
Come on, somebody else, give the lady a helping
hand. You can carry more than one. There you go. So there's this one. The pink one there says no trust. Again, we've seen this really clearly. They don't trust anybody, and they're very, very scared of making mistakes. So when the survivors come and work in our cafe, you'll find that if they do something wrong, their natural kind of sense is to mask that. So you have to create a culture where it's okay to make mistakes. And how do we do that? How do we keep saying it's all right? It's all right if you do it wrong. We do an awful lot of kind of being very articulate about the mistakes we make in the cafe. A lot of them are in safe houses, so housing can be a problem. They don't feel like they've got a permanent home. They're living in multiple occupancy. it can be quite kind of unsettling for them. Education's a problem as well. There you go, you're managing fine. Education's a problem as well. So some of them have not had a formal education. Do you want another one? They also don't have jobs. Sounds an obvious thing. But even if they can't do paid work, the fact that they haven't got anything to do with their time is a real issue. So if they come to us, that's a great thing that we can help do that. They don't have many families and friends, very little in the way of support network. And some of them, my last one, have got prison sentences. So what quite often happens in slavery is the perpetrator will commit a crime in their name, and that helps with their fear of keeping them in prison. So there's an awful lot of ways in which our survivors are trying to deal with. And I like to take these into our schools to kind of help articulate that. What we do at Just ICE is we can't solve all these problems for them. What we do is try and walk alongside them and help them with them. We help with the education, and we give training to all of both our volunteers and our paid survivors who work with us. And we give them jobs. They get a 2-year training contract if they can legally work for us. If they can't legally work for us because they're seeking asylum, they come and volunteer with us with enhanced expenses. But it gives you a bit of a sense, I hope, of what we're trying to do and the difficulties of working with survivors. Thank you very much. It was fantastic. Are you going to put them all in my bag? So there's a little bit about the survivors. I think I'll have some pictures of them. Here we go. So here's two of our survivors. We're having an issue with our survivor problems. There we go. Two of our survivors that you will... Thank you. Thank you very much. Two of our survivors you'll see in the cafe. Rudy on my right here was trafficked here from Slovakia. Well, no, sorry, he wasn't trafficked from Slovakia. He came legally from Slovakia to work in the UK before Brexit. That job came to an end. He went to the job centre to try and find a new job. He was trafficked from a UK job centre. And that is happening, and it continues to happen. Rudy grew up in an orphanage, and it means that lack of parental support comes through in everything he does, really. He is very vulnerable by definition. It didn't occur to him that this job wasn't as legitimate as it looked. And we still struggle with that. I think the likelihood of most people being trafficked, being re-trafficked, is quite high. And certainly with Rudy, we're very aware. He can be a little bit naive. You know, he'd like to transform his life tomorrow. So, you know, only last week he was talking about doing an MBA via some online service. It was just going to cost him £5,000. So trying to kind of get that sense of actually just listen to advisors around you, listen to people about what is and isn't the right thing to do next. And then Hugh here on my left, he was the young man I was mentioning. He was trafficked here with his family from Vietnam. So he is still in the asylum process. He was trafficked here before he turned 18. He's now 22 and is still seeking asylum. It's now having impacts on his long-term mental health, really struggling with the fact that he is still in the asylum process 4 years on. But what we try and do with both of these survivors and others we've helped four so far since we opened about 15 months ago, is walk alongside them with these problems. We can give them a job, we can give them training. We can't solve all their other problems overnight. The other thing we do as a cafe is very much around loneliness and isolation. So we've got a keeping in touch session we run on a Friday where there's always somebody there to chat. We've got a dedicated kind of chatty cafe table. We're keen to do more of those. So if anybody here was wanted to help host a chatty cafe table, we're really keen to do that. We're seeing a great need. We get quite a few older individuals who come into the cafe to chat. Our staff will take the time to chat with them if they can, if we can manage. But that's a huge thing. And as Mandy mentioned, we're a fair trade cafe, so we will be doing some more things around Fair Trade Fortnight, which is nearly upon us. But just to finish there, just wanted to go back to Luke, back to this mission statement that we had. And look at Just Ice's mission statement really through that lens of scripture. And I hope that at Just Ice we bring good news to both the survivors but also the lonely and the isolated. I hope we help free survivors from that mental and emotional captivity they are still in. I hope we help open eyes to incorrect assumptions and prejudices around those who are both trafficked and who are refugees. And we help to those who have suffered so much to rebuild their lives. It's not been easy at Just Ice, but a massive thank you to all those who've supported. I kind of look amongst you for people who've given their time, their talents and their treasure so selflessly as we've started. If you want to help support us, there's some leaflets outside which tell you a bit more about the charity, but just come and have a coffee or book the ice cream cart or have a birthday party there. We do afternoon tea parties. They're not all children's parties. And support us in prayer. And I suppose my final word today was just to ask you all to think about your own mission statement. What might that be? What might be the good news that you will share? How might you help free those who are trapped or captive? How might you help open eyes to incorrect assumptions and prejudices? How might you help people build new lives and play a small part on unrolling that floor plan that sets out God's reign where justice and peace prevail? Amen. Oh, and if anybody did get a 4 out of 4, do collar me for a chocolate at the end. Look, Richard definitely did, I can sense it. Or after over coffee questions. Oh, thank you. Brilliant. Thank you.
You told us so much, actually. There aren't any questions. You know, the wine area is so specific. I think that I'm a lot wiser than once. There aren't any little areas that I don't really quite understand. I'll just try to work on it.
Yeah. I think the one, my last thing was to say, hold the staff there in your prayers, because one thing we have learnt with the cafe is that the role, we've got some brilliant cafe manager and assistant manager now, but that role is so pastoral. I mean, I go in and I do some cafe cover. I couldn't do the job they do because it requires such a level of patience and support. Survivors are people who have been deeply traumatised. So trying to support them just takes a very, very special kind of person. So hold those people in your prayers because we know that they're like gold dust, trying to find people who can both manage a cafe and support them. And I think the other thing we're realising is that fundraising will, although we are a cafe that aims to be profitable, what we will always do, I think, is need to fundraise to support the cafe's aims, because we don't operate like a normal cafe. We need a higher staff to volunteer ratio. You know, those people need a lot of support. And it does make it a very special place to work and volunteer. If anybody's interested in volunteering there as well, we do obviously have some non-survivor volunteers, but we've just recently taken on a volunteer as well who's asylum seeker at Britannia too. So kind of those links are continuing. Yeah.
If you suspect someone is being
trafficked,
The police.
And our role very much is to just raise awareness about potential trafficking so that people do know. So the police have got kind of dedicated units who investigate potential slavery cases. And there's a lot of material around. There was a lot of work done by the Church of England on the CLUR initiative about raising awareness around trafficking. But the police are doing some excellent work, but they don't always get caught. So Rudy, who volunteers with us, he was rescued from slavery. His perpetrators have never been caught, and he finds that something that's very difficult to deal with when he spent 5 years in slavery. So yeah, any information, yeah, straight to the police. That helpline number that was on there as well. If you look for Modern Slavery Helpline, they'll do that. But yeah, and we get our referrals back to Just Ice come through dedicated charities who work about first response with when a victim is first kind of identified and rescued by the police. They go to the likes of the MedEye Trust, Hope for Justice, and there's a third one that I can't spring to mind, and they then refer them on to us when they feel that they have reached a point where volunteering or paid work would be something that's helpful to them, because obviously the first few weeks and months they're in too much trauma to really move forward.
Well, I just thought of one now. After you because our sponsors aren't allowed to work and get paid, so they're kept in poverty and subsistence, would it make more sense for the government? Would it sort of make it less acceptable and easy for them to recruit people if in fact they could work and get paid legitimately? It wouldn't have to be, they wouldn't be so vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge link between slavery and the asylum process, because I think at the moment that's your prime. If you were looking for people to work in those kind of conditions, you'd be looking at asylum seekers because they're desperate. And we see it with one of ours. I mean, Hugh's still in the middle of his asylum process, and he is reaching that desperation point. So trying to get him not to take illegal work, It's really difficult. I mean, what we try and do with that, if they're in the asylum process and they come and volunteer with us, we give them an enhanced expenses package. So most of them are travelling out from Manchester. We obviously keep within all the legal kind of levels, but we will pay for their travel. We will give them a clothing allowance. We can kind of pay for their phone because they need that to keep in contact with us. So we do what we can to around the edges of the system to make sure that those people, it's a benefit for them. But most of them see it as a benefit because we're giving them training and support.
Do you have these?
No, half of us, we keep pondering on it. If the flat above Just Ice came up, we would be interested, because for some of them, I think they would like to be in the community. Equally, a lot of them are quite young. And is it, like, where would they best start building those broader support networks? So I think we have some concerns that if we move them to Poynton, is that the right place for them? Because are they making the connections? But I mean, Hugh, who volunteers with us, he makes quite a lot of friends through his English course he does, and actually that's how he's connected with us, with the girl from the Britannia Hotel who's just come. So they possibly would, and it might be a more stable environment for them if we could have a flat. We've done some trust fundraising with a hope that could, you know, what does Just Ice look like in 5 or 10 years? We have lots of big dreams. It's trying to be realistic on what is a very seasonal business. Although we do lunches now. So if anybody hadn't realised, we do more than ice cream.
I think Rob's got a question.
Yeah, it's quite an eye-opener, I think, that people could be trafficked from the job centre.
Mm. No, I mean, it was somewhere in the East Midlands where he was picked up from a job centre. It's conversations at job centres. So they'll see somebody looking at legitimate job adverts on a board and go, oh, I've got a job for you. And it's amazing who does get trafficked. We had one survivor who was with us very briefly who had been trafficked. So he was a Albanian national who'd moved to Hungary because he got married. Had a good job in Hungary. He was a credit controller for a bank. His marriage broke down and they sent him back to Albania. And he was trafficked from Albania, and he was in his 40s. Very bright, very articulate guy who thought he was coming for legitimate work. So it's amazing who does kind of end up being trafficked, because they just haven't got that sounding board of, like, does this look like... I think the number of times my teenage children phone me and kind of go, does this look right or does it not? And that is certainly, we're seeing, is some of the commonality.
What happens after 2 years?
So we'd like them to move on, and that isn't because we don't want them to stay forever, but what we see ourselves as is almost like that first post-slavery job, because we can be more forgiving. So we have had people who are working with us whose behaviour perhaps might have led to, you know, them being dismissed from other organisations. Not that they've, you know, just because they are in a state of trauma. You know, We have survivors who haven't turned up for work and then haven't phoned us. You know, we have survivors who've made mistakes that perhaps in other situations would have ended up with a disciplinary. So we hope to be that safe space where they can learn what it means to be in a general organisation and then move on and work elsewhere. And with a lot of them, we're trying to work out what their passion is, and that's quite difficult. Hugh's a good case in point in that he came to us and he started baking because we asked, said, would you like to bake? And he said, oh, I'll bake. And he'd been there for 6 months before we said, well, you love making cookies, don't you, Hugh? And he said, well, no, I don't, but that's what you asked me to do. Didn't occur to him for one moment to tell us he didn't like making cookies. We were saving the cookie making for when he came in. Doesn't particularly like making cookies. So it's that kind of sense of... So we'd like them to move on in the nicest possible way because we see ourselves as that kind of first safe space where they can learn what a real workplace should look like with all of the that kind of... but with that extra support for them. That's what we put in place.
Right,
so,
okay. Then do you help them find homeless?
Well, we haven't got to that point yet. So yes, we will. Yes, that would be the hope. I mean, it might be that the right thing is for some of them that will stay.
Right.
But I would love to think, for a lot of them, they've got passions that go beyond catering, you know, and hospitality. So if that isn't where they want to be, if that's been a stepping stone to understanding... Yeah, if we keep them all, then our impact's going to be limited. So that'll be the next piece. But yeah, I mean, Rudy's probably been us with the longest, and he's been there about 9 months. So we're not quite at that point yet. But yeah, we'd hope that they would fly, really.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The clicker.
Oh, what have I done with the clicker?
So, the obvious hymn, show me how to stand for just ice, justice. Am I the only one who took quite a few weeks to click what just ice meant? Justice. Show me how to stand for justice, how to work for what is right.
Show me how to stand for justice, how to work for what is right, how to challenge false assumptions, how to walk within the light. May I learn to share more freely in a world so full of greed. By the life I choose to lead, teach my heart to treasure mercy, whether given or received, for my need has not diminished since the day I first believed. Let me seek no satisfaction, boasting of what I have done, but rejoice that I am pardoned and accepted in your Son. Gladly I embrace a lifestyle modeled on your living word, in humility submitting to the truth which I have heard. Make me conscious of your presence every day in all I do. By your Spirit's gracious prompting, my error to walk with you.
So let's pray. God, who touched the earth in Christ, we pray for all that we have heard today and all that is current in the world. We remember the ones still caught in modern-day slavery. For those existing today under threat, knowing the reality of terror and fear and sheer helplessness. We thank you for those who work tirelessly to release them. And we hold before you the work of Just Ice and ask you to strengthen all those who work there. May the love of God ring out loud and clear to all who enter the shop. May it be a place of both challenge and of comfort and of fun. We pray again for fair trade issues, giving thanks that this issue has been recognised and acted on by so many. Will you continue to stir our consciences whenever we make a purchase? For we have a part to play. We think of those caught up in the disaster in Turkey and Syria. We pray that the aid that so many have contributed to will reach the right people and reach it quickly. We pray for all the aid agencies working out there. We bring to mind those suffering as a result of war, especially in Ukraine and in Russia. We pray again for peace. We pray that the governments of the world will make wise decisions. We think of the asylum seekers in Stockport, staying in hotels, and we pray for their safety and for understanding from the local population. We ask that the clothing that we are sending will bring dignity to them. We think of the ones whose hearts are full of sorrow, wherever they may be, those who mourn the loss of a loved one. We pray for those facing illness, for Carol, Peggy, Hillary, Margaret, for Liz and Peter Phillips. God, who touched the earth in Christ and is with us now in the power of the Spirit, mend broken hearts and lives with your transforming love. Remind us again and again that we all have a part to play in making the world your place. And so we ask for the strength, the comfort, and the wisdom of your Holy Spirit as we sing, O Thou who camest from above. the grace to one another, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Can I ask you just to sit down and watch the adverts go through, because there are some important things happening this week and next week. The World Day of Prayer, I need two volunteers, please. One to do a very short reading and one to, become woman number two, it says. It's not difficult. It's commenting on what's happening in Taiwan and then praying for it later on. So I just need two volunteers. And I need some cake makers, please. Don't rely on me. I'm like your friend. I don't like making cakes either. A week on Friday, March the 3rd at 2 o'clock here, all the churches in Poynton have been invited. So, if you've read your notices, you'll see that there should have been a trade craft stall continued from last week. I'm afraid that's impossible, as sadly Margaret has got COVID. So, hence she was in our prayers. Don't forget the new prayer group that's started, please. Please join us.
The sheets are at the back. Just on the table this morning.
Sheets are at the back to pick up. Join us for breakfast. Come on Wednesday, celebrate Ash Wednesday. Sorry, Judy, I haven't got the film in. I didn't get the notices in time. Here's the World Day of Prayer, March the 3rd. Wednesday, we always serve coffee here. As a thank you again for knickers and underpants for Dalston Lane, I'm sure Katrina will be thrilled to bits. And that's wrong. That's the beginning. The notices that should have appeared at the beginning. Right. Film on at 2 o'clock. What is it? Right. In here, 2 o'clock. Prompt. Got it in before you. I just wonder if we couldn't, man or woman, a table at Just Ice for people to come and chat. That's something that even I could do. Think about it. Thank you.